Denne talen er produsert av Philadelphia-kirken i Drammen, en aktiv og livskraftig pinsemenighet. Vi ber om at det du nå skal høre, vil gi deg styrke og velsignelse i livet ditt.
We're going into the glory. But we're not going as beggars. See, Peter says that we're a royal priesthood. And Colossians 1 says that we're made by him and for him. So actually God made you and he thinks he did a really good job. So you think you're all messed up and broken. He's like, hey, that's my best work. He's like, I think I nailed that, you know. I think I, perfect. Hey, hands off, you know. He didn't just make you, but he made you for him. He's jealous for you. He's not envious, he's jealous. Is there a different Norwegian word? You got jealous, jelu. That's in Danish, but Danish is a bit of a throat disease, isn't it? What is it? Jelu and envious. Yeah. Misunnelig? Ja da. Okay, kjempefint, ja. So good. envious. Let's start with envious. I like your watch. It's not my watch, but it's your watch, but I want it. I'm envious. I'm going to wait until no one's looking, and then I'm going to take it from you. I'm just telling you. Because it's your watch, but I like it. I want it to be my watch. That's why I'm envious of it. And where you're in trouble. That's envious. Jealous is, that's my wife. She's my wife. I'm not sharing her with you. Yeah, there you go. I'm jealous for my wife. She's mine. I'm not sharing her with another man. That's not okay. That's not going to happen. And if someone tries to do it, there's going to be conflict. Let's see how non-violent a Christian can be. Okay? That's how God is with us. We're his. He's not interested in sharing us with anyone else. Hands off. They're mine. He's jealous. Because God made you, but he made you for him. Because my first ministry isn't actually to my wife. Sorry, I'm spitting on the front row. You kind of get the whole 4D effect, you know? Yeah, you get the whole thing. Yeah. It's the glory, mate. Put on a handkerchief. What was I saying? It's your fault. He's jealous. See, he made you for him. My first ministry is not to my wife as her husband. That is a ministry. I'm her priest. And to our children, I'm their father. That's a massive ministry. It's not just to my church. That's an important ministry. I'm their pastor. My first ministry is to God. I'm actually made by him, for him. My first job, and actually the meaning of life, you don't need to go up a mountain and speak to some cross-legged, long-haired guy sitting under a tree. I'll tell you the meaning of life. Enjoy God enjoying you. Enjoy God enjoying you. Just enjoy God enjoying you. He's really enjoying you. And I just pray right now, God, that you would just let us tap in to your pleasure when you look at us. You get so much pleasure looking at us, enjoying us, watching us when we sleep, seeing how we're thinking, seeing how we're living, enjoying life, enjoying everything you've given us, enjoying you, God. You get so much pleasure. Yeah. So when Peter says, we are a royal priesthood, I come in, I'm a priest, not first to you, but to God. I'm a priest to God. I serve in his temple, the temple of my heart. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I serve him and I bless him and I minister to him in my thoughts, in my meditation, of and in my dreaming, in my He's always with me. And I'm ministering to him. But I'm a royal priesthood because I'm not coming as some broken, poor, dirty priest. I'm coming as a king. See, if we're going to go into the throne room of God, we come as kings and as priests. See, because Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Well, guess what? Who the kings and lords are? That's you and that's me. You're a king in heaven. Oh, there's only one king in heaven. His name's Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings. He's our king. Amen. But he's not an oppressive king. There's never been such a relaxed, empowering king that he makes all his servants kings. What kind of crazy kingdom is this where everyone's a king? It's heaven. And more than that, it's a family. Because that's the government of heaven. Because Jesus came to reveal the Father. So we come into his courts as kings. How does a king walk? How does a king talk? How does a king think? How does a king joke and play with the other kings? See, when you're a king and I'm a king, then it releases me from needing to be you and it releases you from needing to be me, and we compare each other and we compete. I actually release you to be you. And what kind of church would that be if we could all be awesome in the same room? That would be pretty heavenly, wouldn't it? I just speak that over your families, over your churches, that you could all be magnificent in the same room. Yeah, because that's the culture of heaven. You're awesome. And so am I, because he is. Shaga. Now Psalm 100 verse 3 says, we enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Here's the roadmap into the glory. I was waiting for Maria to get her coffee. Now we're going to go, Maria. Here we go. You're welcome. I step into his gates with thanksgiving. Did you know I can't be depressed and thankful at the same time? I can't be in a horrible mood and thankful for what God's doing in the same time. I can't do it. They don't exist. That's like water and oil. They don't mix. Oh, but Andy, you don't know about my job. My job sucks. Find 10 things to be thankful to God about your job. Write them down and thank him. I promise you won't hate your job anymore. You'll actually think it's pretty cool. And then God might even promote you to a better job. But he always brings you from strength to strength, not from weakness to strength. He brings you from glory to glory. So make it glorious. Make it a strength. But it's so weak. Let the weak say I'm strong. Well, that would be lying. No, it's being thankful for what he's doing. See, when I thank him for what he's doing, I'm releasing him from what he's not doing. Oh, but he needs to do this and this before I'm going to be thankful. But he's doing this, 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 and this. Ah. So who's better? Is he a good God or are you better than he is? No. He's doing this and this and this because you're going to need that for that and that and that. God, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're not doing yet. Thank you, God, for the job that I have. Thank you, God, for the job I don't have yet because I'm not ready for it. Thank you for today. Thank you that you brought me into today, that I can do this, that I can rock this, that there's grace enough for this because you're with me. And thank you that I'm not living tomorrow yet because I need today for tomorrow. And if I was living tomorrow today, I'd be out of my grace. I'd be out too deep. Thank you for everything you're doing in us today. So you start to stir up the spirit by thanking God for what he's doing. Thank you for my marriage. Thank you for my family. Thank you for health. Thank you for prosperity. Thank you that you've brought us so far. Thank you that you're the author and the finisher of my faith. Thank you that you've been writing it. And you're not going to stop it now because you're the finisher. Thank you that my life is a happy ever after. Thank you that my life is a success story that goes from great to greater to greater. That's the circle of life in heaven. Thank you that you're a good God. You see what's happening in the room? The presence starts to manifest. There's always something to thank God for. You see, because thanking him for what he's done will release what he's about to do. If I buy two of my kids presents, one of them so thankful, the other one's a brat and saying, well, I wanted the bigger one. Which one do I have more pleasure buying things for? The thankful one. Thank him all the time. And don't let your thanks just be an event. Let your life be a thankful life. I've literally woken myself up at times because my spirit is just thanking God. I didn't wake up to thank God. I woke myself up thanking God. Because you're just thanking him. You're just so, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God. There's so much joy in it. If you're not feeling a bunch of joy these days, if you're like, man, I'm so heavy and stuff, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Stir it up because you're entering his gates with thanksgiving. But then what happens is you go into his courts with praise because God gave Moses these plans for this tabernacle and it had to be perfect. The measurements had to be down to the inch. And the reason for that is because that was a picture of something in heaven. It was a map of a spiritual reality, which I'm taking you through now. Now, I didn't make the way into the Holy of Holies. Jesus did that. But I can show you in, because Jesus died for you to know and to live with him in intimacy, in the glory of God. Because you and I, we were actually made to live in the glory of God. That was Eden. That was Adam. That was Eve. And you can experience and enjoy God for the rest of your life. Not just up to the ankles or the knees or the hips. Man, take me under, God. God, I don't want to go back. Just give me gills. I want to stay under here forever. In the glory of God. Enjoying God, enjoying me. But everything he does needs to lead us to everything he is. It says in the Psalms that Israel knew the deeds of God. Moses knew the ways of God. Now in Australian, that means they saw what he did. He saw why he did it. If I'm just chasing after a miracle, it's like if I'm driving to Drammen and I see a sign that says Drammen, and then I stop my car and I put a tent out and I live there, I'm not in Drammen yet. I'm just sitting on the side of the road by a sign. But sometimes we're chasing after a miracle more than we're chasing after the miracle maker. We're chasing after a healing more than we're chasing after the healer. But a sign is simply that. It's a sign to something greater. No, to someone greater. Because if it's happened once, I can start sharing that testimony and it'll happen again. There's always more than one miracle in a miracle. The more you talk about it, the more it's going to happen. Yeah? He's the healer. Has he ever healed you? He's the provider. Has he ever provided for you? Well, he's going to do it again and again and again and again and again because that's who he is. You can take that as a given. It says, don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and about your life. That's what the pagans do. But consider the lilies. Consider Solomon in all his splendor wasn't clothed like one of them. What about the least of my, what about the children of God? It's going to be fine. Take it as a given. And sefulig. So then we can spend our energy on dreaming the dreams of God and getting to enjoy God enjoying us. Ha! Yeah. And don't let your praise just be an event. Let it be a lifestyle, that your life is a life of praise. I praise you for who you are, God, that you're my healer. You've healed me before. You'll heal me again. And not just that, you'll lead me into health, divine health, where I get to live whole. Thank you, God, that you're a provider. You've provided before. You'll provide again. You are my provider. Ha! You're my protector. I don't need to be the protector of my family. I don't need to be the provider of my family. God is the provider of my family. He's the protector of my family. He's the healer of my family. I'm praising him. I'm praising you. You are awesome. That means I don't understand you. You are so good. Now that's the outer court. Now in the tabernacle there was a brazen altar. Where they would do sacrifices. Now, we're New Testament, we don't kill cows anymore. But we're living sacrifices. Did you know that I can thank him for what he does and praise him for who he is without surrendering to him? Without him actually being the Lord of my life? I can be very thankful and I can enjoy who he is, but he's not the boss of me. Han bestemmer ikke. Ikke, ikke. Ikke, and bestemme ikke. Yeah? He doesn't get to decide over me because maybe he became my savior because I realized I don't have it all under control, so I needed saving. But he's also my Lord. That's the other side of that. He's my Lord. He's my boss. He's my king. Which means when he says something, I do it. I don't need to say okay every time he says something. I said okay at the beginning. That's a big forever okay. We're never going to have a discussion about, oh, well, I don't know if you really know what you're talking about, Holy Spirit. I don't think I'm ready. No. No. I said okay. So if he tells me to do anything in the next 5 minutes, it's already done. I'm going to do it. Because he's my king. Ha. Come on. So we were in a camp, and I grew up in Sydney, Australia, and we would have these summer camps in these tents where we would just like worship would just go off. And it was revival. And just as a teenager, just around your age, we started praying these stupid prayers. These stupid, big, dumb prayers that we didn't know what we were talking about. But they were like, God, whatever you want, everything that I am, everything that I'm ever going to be, it's yours. You can do whatever you want with me. Make me, break me, use me, bruise me, God, I'm yours. But God honored it. And if I told you who was in that tent with me, you'd know who they are. Because we're all around the world. He literally took that little generation of troublemaker Australians and threw them to the north, south, east, and west. We're everywhere. What could God do with your life if you completely yielded to the Holy Spirit? Completely surrendered. So I get up on the altar, and not just as an event, but as a lifestyle, a surrendered, laid-back lover lifestyle. Holy Spirit. That's why that song is so sweet, and the glory starts to come. That I don't have any voice anymore. Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering all. Find me here, Lord, as you draw me near. I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. And he comes. That's not sometimes, that's always. Because whenever we give him a sacrifice of praise, whenever we lay down our lives, whenever we surrender, so it's not a song anymore, but it's a prayer and it's the cry of our heart, God will always honor it with fire. Just like what's going on across this room right now, that the fire of God is just coming. Because I was singing it, but you were agreeing with it. Because it's the prayer of your heart as well. And Holy Spirit comes with fire. And what he does is he licks clean everything on that altar. And he takes us into the holy place. Now that's the inner court. See, in the spirit right now, this is what we call in the spirit. This is where the prophetic starts to happen very easily. This is where prayer answers come very quickly. It says, call upon the Lord while he's near. So any questions that you're asking him right now, you're going to get quick answers. The other thing that's going to happen, and some of you have been reading your Bibles, and then you get guilty because you get to the end of the page and you realize, oh, I can't remember what on earth I was reading. But literally, God's been speaking to you. He's been taking you away You've been, oh, I've just been daydreaming. No. You know what daydreaming is? That's visions from God. You've been seeing what he's seeing. He's been showing you things. And that's what happens in his presence with a surrendered heart. And again, you can live here. You can live in the Spirit. We're actually called to just be here, where it's just continual communication between heaven and earth right now. As I said, you're here, but you're here. You're in Drammen, but you're in the throne room of heaven. The other thing that happens is this is the revelation of the Son, sonhood, like Maria was talking about. Whatever she has that revelation that whatever is the Father's, that it also belongs to her. My children also have that revelation. I wish they didn't have it quite so good as they do. But they know that my kuleskap is also their kuleskap. So they help themselves. That's why if I see a need, I know that there's healing in heaven. I just drag it down. I pull it down. All the resources of heaven are mine. The kingdom of God is mine. I'm an heir of God. Yes. Some of you, when you're speaking in tongues, a lot of thoughts start coming to you. You know, that's not demons or anything. That's God. He thinks quicker than you do. You might be quick, but he's quicker. He's speaking to you. He's sharing his thoughts with you. That means that's a lot of thoughts. He's just speaking in tongues, speaking in tongues, speaking in tongues. Shikarara basu koranate. Some of you have never heard tongues before. You know, right now, because Holy Spirit's just baptizing, he's not going to come and wave your tongue for you. He doesn't do that. Oh, I can't speak in tongues. He's got to come and wag my tongue for me. No, he doesn't do that. He lets you do it. So I get to speak in tongues whenever I want. Ah, not in church. No, not unless I interpret it. Anyway, we won't get into that. What I'm saying is, in this place, he starts sharing his thoughts with you. You start to hear from heaven. All the time. You remember that picture of Jacob and the stairway to heaven? You know, with all those angels ascending and descending. Well, that was a picture of Jesus. The angels coming to and fro. But did you know that Jesus is a picture of you? So right now, because you're an open heaven, that same angelic traffic just comes and goes all the time. The things that you didn't even know that you knew, all of a sudden you know. Oh, well, that's a word of knowledge. Yeah. These skadayakta, where I just know that I know that if I go there and I do this, that's in the inner court that we're talking about. It's in these places. But I actually don't care too much about, are you dreaming the dreams of God? You know, are you seeing God's visions? Everyone's doing that. It says in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will see dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Everyone's doing that. I've got 5 minutes. I want to know what you're doing with it. What are you doing with it? When you dream a dream from God. Because our job is actually, as sons and daughters of God, is actually to pull things out of the invisible and into the visible. That's where we get our songs from. That's where we get our companies from. That's where we get our ideas from. That's where when the children of God start to see in the invisible and pull things out and start to act on them. That's how heaven comes to earth. When I see, oh, I need to go to that shop and there's going to be that man with that broken leg and I'm going to lay hands on him and he's going to get healed. It's not that I saw it that's amazing. That's just talking with my dad. Do I do it? Because it's actually obedience that takes us into the Holy of Holies. It's when I start to step into it that the water starts turning into wine. Remember how Mary said to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Well, that's in this place. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And this will be a wine generation where we continue to just see the water, the natural, the normal turning into the wine, because he saves the best wine for last. He saves it for the children of God. And we step into the Holy of Holies. And that's a picture of, that's the revelation of the bride of Christ. Now, I'm not going to tell you anything about that, because that's private. Just like I wouldn't tell you about my private life with my wife. Why on earth would I tell you about my private life with the Lord? You want a secret place with the Lord? Learn to keep secrets. But I encourage you, Jesus died for you to have that access to God. Don't settle for anything less. Can I pray for you and then release you to go? God, I just thank you for your presence. I honor your presence in this place. God, we don't take it for granted that you keep showing up. It's because you're so faithful and your love just keeps running wave after wave, God. You woo us and you romance us, God. And I thank you that Jesus died on the cross so that we would have access to the Father, direct access to the Father. And God, I just speak over every prayer closet, over every prayer ministry, that it would become our first priority again, God, that we were made by you and we were made for you, that you're a jealous God, and I pray that the bride of Christ would be as jealous for her husband as her husband is for his wife. Shaka. Call us into the wilderness to be one-on-one with you again, God. I just pray for an increase in that prayer closet, a depth and a width, God, that we just carry with us. And I just thank you, Lord, for the overflow. That we wouldn't stop drinking until we're, just because we're feeling better, that we wouldn't just be worshiping until our feelings feel better, God, but we would just continue to worship until we overflow and overflow and overflow and overflow and overflow until literally the whole world is drowned in your presence because we just didn't stop worshiping. I thank you, Lord, that we were made by you and we were made for you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Talen du nettopp hørte produsert av Philadelphia-kirken i Drammen. Du kan laste ned flere taler fra vår internetside, philadelphia-drammen.no. Philadelphia-kirken i Drammen en aktiv og livskraftig pinsemenighet. Ønsker du mer informasjon, du velkommen til å kontakte oss.